The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the minbar you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
Last night we started a topic and I wasn't able to finish it last night. Inshallah tonight we will finish it. And I will go over just the main points that I covered last night as well, inshallah. And that had to do with this whole idea of, okay, we see Imam Hussein, what he did has lasted till today. Nothing can get in the way of it. And when we look around us, we see that there's a lot going on, but why is it that there's one thing out there that has lasted this long? Other things similar to it don't last long. They haven't lasted long. I gave examples last night. I'll go through them very quickly again tonight. What are those main ingredients, those secret ingredients? But they're not so secret. They're things that we know as well. But we find them at the highest level in the story of Imam Hussein, which makes that story eternal, renders it everlasting. So that we can take inspiration from that in the work that we do today as followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so that the work we do for Islam, that we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it also is everlasting and lasts for a long time, so that we can also reap the rewards in the akhirah. The more people benefit from our Islamic work in this life, the more we're going to benefit as well. Man sanna sunnatan hasanatan. You have the famous hadith that says, whoever establishes a good sunnah, then that person gets the reward of that and the reward of those who act upon that sunnah. And it makes sense. I think this is common sense. And the flip side also holds, by the way. Man sanna sunnatan sayyatan. Whoever establishes something bad and evil, then yes, the wizr and burden of that, in addition to the burden of those who act upon that bad sunnah, is going to be on the one who started the whole thing. Okay, so last night we went through two of those ingredients. They were pretty detailed. The first, what had to do with Allah's will. What Imam Hussein did, alayhi salam, was in line with Allah's will. In other words, what Imam Hussein did was just carry out what Allah had willed. Now, because it was such a great task, when Imam Hussein lines his will up with the will of Allah, that's going to do wonders, because it's a big task. For us, for a person like me, I need to align my will with Allah's will, with the wajib and haram of every day. Even that's going to do wonders. Because at the end of the day, it's not about us, it's about that special ingredient, which is Allah. If Allah is in the picture, good things happen. Alhamdulillah, or whatever, Astaghfirullah, Alhamdulillah, whatever you want to say, we have not been tasked with what Imam Hussein was tasked with. I'm going to say Alhamdulillah because I would not go through with it. I'm sorry. And Allah knows that. That's why I wasn't chosen for that job. Yeah? But the least expectation, Imam Hussein did what he did so we can follow his footsteps, at least in the little sacrifices that we have to make. Really, they're little compared to what even others are going through in this life right now, today, across the globe. Correct? So that's the first ingredient, lining up my will with Allah's will. Imam Hussein did that. The only difference is what he lined his will with Allah was something huge, unprecedented, unmatched, and you will never have anything like it. And when I say you'll never have anything like it, because of the whole package, you'll never have that package anymore. It's very interesting. We'll have some lines of poetry in the end, in Farsi, where it says that, look, even Imam... there will be another Imam Hussein that will come, which is Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala faraju sharif, inshallah. But there's not going to be a brother like Abbas that will come with it. That was just, what happened on Ashura is special. Okay? That package, it was big. Alright, so that's number one, Allah's will. Number two, ikhlas. Ikhlas, ikhlas, ikhlas. There's a couple of stories I didn't mention last night, I'll share them tonight. something we have to be very careful about. There was one hadith I really liked I mentioned last night. The hadith said that the amal is easier than refining the amal with ikhlas. The good deed that you do is hard sometimes, but making sure that that intention is pure is harder according to that hadith. It's harsher, harder, heavier, ashad, from some shadid. All right, I want to share a couple of stories here. One of them, if you've noticed, I don't know, check it out if you can on YouTube and stuff. Ayatollah Bahjat, when he prays Salat, lots of times, I've seen this a ton of times. I didn't know this until my mom brought it up to me, actually. May Allah bless her, she's back home. Home, way across the globe, I mean, back home. She told me, she said, because those were the days that, you know, I was very much more spiritual than what I am now. I'm horrible right now. But back then, you know, we would do a lot more worship and stuff. I mean, you would see the greats on the streets even. What more inspiration could you ask for and motivation, right? All right. She was like, you guys are doing a lot of namaz and stuff. I don't want a mark to be on your forehead. Now, before I go on, I'm going to say this. Doesn't mean if someone has a mark on their forehead, it's bad. Okay? Or that they're after riyah and showing off. No, not at all. Okay? We had a friend in Hawza. He was actually really a really good person, a very spiritual person. And he had like a big mark on his forehead. One time I asked him, he was my classmate. I said to him, what is up with this? Like, you know, you'd probably do a lot of sajda. He's like, no, man, everyone thinks it's because of my spirituality. When I was a kid, I got hit in the head with a stone. It left a mark. Everyone thinks I'm super spiritual. But anyway, Agha Bahjat, my mom brought this up. And later on, I noticed that he had said this actually. Every time he comes up from sajda, or almost every time, you notice he rubs his head like this. Why? To get the blood flowing a little bit. He doesn't want it to like leave a mark at all. Because Allah can see. The Quran says, سِمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, that there's a mark that you see from the sajda that they do. But in the akhirah, there's a light maybe that shines or something. Some people take this a little too literal. There are some people who might struggle with this. It's a very basic thing, but they would like it to like leave them. No, don't worry about these things. Allah's watching, Allah sees. Allah Bahjad rubs this forehead of his for that purpose. Yeah, I've seen him actually say this. It's recorded. Another story I want to mention is Sheikh Abbas Qumi that we spoke about last night, correct? Sheikh Abbas Qumi, the author of Mafatih al-Janan. I read a story years ago. I just remembered tonight, actually. I was like, let me share that. About ikhlas again. Ikhlas, sincerity, doing things only for Allah. Those of you who have been to Mashhad, man, I miss Mashhad, by the way. Inshallah, we go again and again. There are two domes, the Dome of Imam al-Rida and Masjid al-Gohar Shad, it's called, correct? That's a very old masjid. It has a history itself. And he says, I was leading salat there. He was visiting Mashhad. He didn't live in Mashhad, but he was visiting. And for a time, they asked him, can you lead salat? He says, one time, when I was leading, you know, there's people who catch up, they get to the salat late, right? So they're like, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. So the imam has to slow down in ruku so they can join, right? He says that one time when I was leading salat there, I noticed that there are some people saying, Ya Allah, Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. You know, they say that. They give you that guilt. The imam, like, imam, if you get up from your ruku', you are not of the sabirin. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Allah is with the sabirin. In other words, if you get up before I make it, you're not of the sabirin. But the thing is, it's not just me. There's 100 other people also. Yeah. Anyway, he says, I heard the Ya Allah, and I could tell it's from far away. I was like, and he says something went through my heart that moment. You know what he said to himself? He said, I thought to myself, wow, look at the crowd that is behind me praying. A big crowd, or else I wouldn't be hearing this from like far away, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Maybe there's 1,000 people behind me. That was enough for him after finishing Maghrib Salat to get up and leave and not lead jama'ah for Isha. Wow. You remember I said this last night, that if I can't refine the intention, let someone else do it. Let someone else do the act. Don't worry about it. Allah's deen isn't going to be lost if I don't do that act. If I can't refine my thing, my intention, I'm going to be the one at loss. Oh, Allah, Shaykh Abbas Qumi, kuja miri? Shaykh Abbas Qumi, kaha hai? Where are you? Where are you going? You have to lead salat. He's like, no, I'm not sure if I am allowed to lead Salat because of this thought that came to my mind. Now, that's him, of course. We don't have to get too obsessive about these things, but what I'm trying to highlight here is that ikhlas is what pushes things forward, or else it's an uphill battle. It's just not going to work. Barakat will go no matter what you're doing. It's just not going to work.
Hussein, you live forever. To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.